אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר זוהר לעם, הקדמת ספר הזוהר, מאמר המצווה השלישית, פסקה 204, דיבור המתחיל והנה שש מילים.
We're starting from Zohar La'am, the third commandment, and you are invited to enter our website and ask questions at kab.tv, and also you can send us questions. I just want to add that today we have 40, yes, we have 40 mem, the degree of Bina, so I see that 40 of our friends working in the new building, it's Rehovot, Yerushalayim, Netanya, Kfar Saba, Hadera, Zichron, and Petach Tikva. From 7 different places, 40 of our friends have come in order to work in a new building, and that's besides those people that are working there, our friends who came from abroad, from overseas, that are working there throughout the day. So we certainly need to be aware of how many forces we are investing in the building. And all of this is included, considered as exertion towards building that kli, that we will all merit, in which we will all merit the revelation of the Creator within us. So please.
Item 204, the third commandment, Akdamat Sefer Zohar, starting with a paragraph, the six words. The six words of Hero Israel are six sides of Zon, and the six sides of Zon must be unified, so they unite as one with the six upper sides, which are Abba Ve'ima in Yersut, and with them the desire should be aimed upward, meaning aim the desire and the nefesh, ruach, neshama, to be included in them in man. To make them one unification in Vagda Zaranpin, which are six words of Hero Israel, the one should be extended, meaning that
because it is the seal of all of these words, it accumulates them together.
The one should be extended, meaning that Chokhmah should be drawn in the word one. It is so because the light of Chokhmah, which extends from Ensof to Upper Vak, which are Abba Ve'ima and Yersut, unites the Vak de Zeranpin in light of Ensof, since Echad, one, is 13 in Gematria, indicating to the drawing of the light of Chokhmah. Hence, in the one, there should be intention to draw the Chokhmah to Vak de Zeranpin.
To aim, meaning to reach the same deficiency that will be feeding the source of the light of Chokhmah, which is in Arich Anpin, because Zeranpin is nourished through Abba Ve'ima from Arich Anpin. That is, if Zon can connect between them in unison, it is only on the condition that the light comes from above and arranges that unity for them, and then they reach a state which is called one. Hear, O Israel. Israel are those that want to ascend in the degree of bestowal, to be like the light, the upper light. What does it mean, the upper pratsuf? What's in it? It's as if the upper pratsuf is just another kli, another system. The upper pratsuf is the level of bestowal, where the will to receive and the will to bestow are as one. They're equal to one another. The vessel and the light are equal, and this is in the system of Arich Anpin. Therefore, when we say, "Hear, O Israel," Israel is a zone that want to reach connection between them towards bestowal, Yashar Kel, according to their direction, which is that way. Especially it starts from Malchut, that wants to be that way towards Zeranpin. Israel is Zeranpin in generality, where Zeranpin receives the qualities and forces of Arich Anpin, and Malchut assembles within her all the souls, those who want to be connected and to belong to that quality of bestowal, the quality of the light. So it turns out that here, O Israel, Shema Israel, meaning first reach the level of Bina, Shema, here, the God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So we reach the degree of Ari Hanpin. That is the intention of Zone. And Ari Hanpin, according to this deficiency, this desire, then brings them the 13 corrections of Dikna, the bird, the drops come down through those corrections, and by that it corrects the zone. And then they would come and clove over it. Yes?
Don't we learn that it's impossible to draw the light of Chokhmah? Since when do we ask for the light of Chokhmah for?
That's a description of the corrections here. These are corrections. Because one in Gematria is 13, implies to the extension of the light of Chokhmah. These are the 13 corrections of Dikna. It's not the light of Chokhmah that comes as fulfillment. It comes as a correction. It is impossible to reach the fulfillments except through the ascents. Let's continue. Indeed, in this unification, however, in this unification, there's no intention to extend Gar to Zeranpin, but only to increase the Vak of Zeranpin through their integration in the upper Vak. That is, that it can only be in the ascents, in the integration. Hence, the word one should be drawn out to the measure of six words. To extend or draw out means to draw Chokhmah as the measure of six words into Vak of Zeranpin. And by that, his Vak become Vak of Gadlut, adulthood, because the six words of Hear, O Israel, correspond to Vak of Zeranpin. And through this unification, which increases him to in Vak of Gadlut, it is then possible to extend Gar to Zeranpin as well. So that's the preparation. Ibu, Yenikam, Ochin, as usual, as we learn everywhere. The order is simple. So there are no changes here in all of these things. Only along the way he explains to us what is here, O Israel, that it is the Zivug, coupling, for the sake of the correction of Zon. All right? 205?
It is written, let the waters under the heavens be gathered onto one place. It means that the degrees under the heaven will gather onto one place to be in completeness for six edges. And yet in the unification of Hero Israel, one must tie the fear to it, meaning to extend the Dalet in the Echad 1. This is why the Dalet in the Echad is big, and this is the meaning of what is written. And let the dry land appear, meaning the Dalet, which is the dry land, appears and connects in that unification. The unification of Shema is to extend Vak de Gadlut. This is the meaning of the verse, let the waters under the heavens be gathered unto one place, meaning let the degrees below the heaven gather unto one place to be in completeness for Vak, since one place is the upper Vak, where the light of Ein Sof shines in the light of Chokhmah. It was said that the degrees below the heaven, which are the six sides of Zeranpin, under the Bina, which are called heaven in regard to Zeranpin, be gathered onto one place, the six upper sides, to be in completeness for Vak, as they should, so they will receive the light of Chokhmah too. Then Vak de Zeranpin will unite, although only in completeness for Vak, only for Gadlut of Vak. And yet, in the unification of Hero Israel, one must tie the fear to it, to extend the Dalet in the Echad, which is the bottom fear. This is so because complete love is love of both sides, in Din and in Chesed. and success of his ways. This is why the light of the act of creation first came out and then was concealed. When it was concealed, the harsh din came out of the two sides, were included in it, chesed and din together, so they would be whole. This is the love as it should be. It was said that in this love too, fear should be awakened. It follows.
This is about a person, Adam. So the process is as follows, that the vessels are built by the upper one, and later the lower one is given the opportunity to build the vessels by himself. What does that mean? That the upper one first of all shows the lower one how we should receive all of the discernments with the masach screen and ochzer, reflected light. And later, after he gives the lower one the understanding of that, he starts showing the lower one's actions of bestowal, of love, of connection, and of fulfillment. And here there is great work required of the lower one, how to accept that attitude from the upper one, and let's say not to be spoiled by it. Like in our world, not to accept that as I deserve it and finally I got it. So not with some self bias, some self-interest, rather whatever I now receive and is in order to know how to give contentment back to the Creator, like the guest and the host, where the guest is already facing the host and the host is showing him his signs of love and his attitude and everything. How can the guest here maintain himself in using everything that is revealed to him now, one following the other? How can he accept those things with reflected light? So here it is already the work where he immediately has to strengthen himself in the group, because only through the connection with others, as we learn about Rabbi Shimon and his friends, only in the connection between us we will be able to position ourselves correctly, and each time to be ready to receive that degree of love that is revealed to us with its fulfillment in the right way. That is a great problem when a person is very confused in such moments, that he deserves it, and they twist him, manipulate him with all kinds of thoughts and ideas, and pride, and feeling spoiled. Coping with that is something he really is unable to do that. Really unable. And here, that's the work of the klipa, the shell. And only with the right preparation, that's the only thing that can somehow help us. I wish it would help us.
It follows that there are two discernments of love and fear. Upper love and fear, upper Abba Ve'ima, and lower love and fear, Yersut. Wholeness is achieved only by both discernments together. Thus, the concealment of the light in Yeshut is done to disclose the lower love, even if he takes your soul away. Even then, the fear must cling to that lower love, and one should fear one's master and not harden one's heart. Then one has love and fear in completeness, and clings to upper Abba Ve'ima and to Yeshut, receiving all the pleasantness and good in them. This refers to the unification of the Shema reading. Once he raised the Zon and included them in the six upper sides to extend the great love in Zon in the word Echad, which is the light that was created on the first day in the verse, and God said, let there be light, still in the unification of fear of here, O Israel, the fear must be connected. This is so because one should also disclose and extend the concealing of the light that was made in Yeshua to complement it with the lower love and fear too. As without it, it is considered incomplete. One should extend the Dalet in the big Echad because big letters are in Tvuna. This is why the Dalet in Echad is big, implying to the place of concealment of the light that was done in Nehi the Tvuna. This is the reason why it should be extended and to aim in the concealing in her to cling to the lower love and fear as well. It is written, and let the dry land appear, meaning that the Dalet, dry land, will be seen and connect to that unification because there is no wholeness in the upper love and fear that were extended in the six words of Shema, reading through the word of Echad, which is the meaning of let there be a light. Rather, it is through the lower love and fear which appear through the concealing of the light in Nehi the Tvuna, which are called Dalet. This is why it is written, let the waters under the heavens be gathered onto one place, which is extension of light of Chokhmah to the 6 degrees of Zeranpin, which are below the heaven. Afterwards, it is written, and let the dry land appear. This relates to the Dalet in the Echad, that it should be extended and to aim that it becomes dry by concealing the light. So the Dalet, the dry land, Tvuna, will be seen and tied to that unification of light in upper Abaveima that were extended in Vagdazon to complete the love in two sides.
Is that clear? Somehow? So the actions are the ordinary ones. We learn this in tasks, in different words, but those are the same actions. Only there, he doesn't explain to us in a parallel fashion what does the light mean according to the prayer of Shema or according to the actions of love and fear. Rather, he uses technical terms, lights, vessels, screens, the shimot, etc. But it's the same thing. It's just a matter of the manner of expression, which is different. But the actions are the same actions. You can speak about milligrams of some matter that's lacking in the body, or you can speak about how much a person feels more tranquil, say, if he receives this kind of substance. That's the difference between these two languages. Either you speak from the side of the actions, the forces that are in action, the force of bestowal and the force of reception, the way that they connect and bring about different phenomena, or the way it is actually felt in a person who attains. Yes, Tzvika.
So why does he say, even when you devote your soul, why should he write that? It sounds so cruel. Even if one does dedicate his soul, even if he takes your soul, then
even if he takes your soul, well, it's just a nice way to say it. What? As you sometimes say, I give my whole soul. I devote my whole soul, as if you have a soul. That's how you speak, right? People speak that way. And, you know, soul.
It's like, even if they kill you, so I'll be dead. So, okay, but here you're told that your soul will be taken. So what can you do? You're dead.
I don't know what you mean by a soul and that they take it from you. This doesn't speak about the living body here that dies.
So what does it mean by your soul?
I don't know. It's some sort of a spiritual charge that exists in me, in myself. I don't even know what is this self of mine, which is filled up with this charge that is called nefesh, soul. And even if I lose this soul, I'm nonetheless willing to simply remain in adhesion with him. So I have apparently a very great possession, which is called nefesh, soul, and I'm willing to part with it and just remain in adhesion with the host, or any way you want to say it. Yes?
It's like being above reason, regardless of what's going to be, what they're going to do to me, I'll overcome above reason.
Then I'm on the path, I'll overcome, they'll do these things to me. Again, I don't know what...
It's above reason, it's what? What's going on here? What does it mean?
And if I'll tell you it's above reason, you understand already? Okay.
I don't, but at least...
Oh, fine, I'll tell you. Okay, yes, above reason. How can you try to come closer to this through all kinds of different senses, imagination? Doesn't matter, it's all good. But never stop and say, that's it. Because it's incorrect, it will never be correct. But constantly search. And the more your definitions you'll have will be more and more correct or incorrect, doesn't matter, but that you'll work on that, that you'll constantly be scrutinizing, that helps. It helps. And the main thing is don't forget that scrutiny requires the light, that it actually is the one that sorts out the vessels. We all in all want to see results. The fact that even devotion, in Hebrew, giving your souls, we don't know what it is, but yes, where are we?
206.
Yes.
Once Malchut connected above in Vagda Zaranpin, she must be tied below as well in her masses and the six other edges that are below in Malchut. These are, blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever, in which there are six other words of unification in Hebrew. Then the land that was dry becomes a land for bearing fruits and offspring and for planting trees. Explanation. In the Shema reading, the upper unification, the Dalet in Echad, was tied above in Abba Ve'ima. Afterwards, the Dalet in Echad must be tied to the other Vak, below, on the six sides of Nukva de Zeranpin, Rachel, who stands from Chazed de Zeranpin and below.
Meaning that our point begins to receive a depiction, it's no longer just a black point, it becomes the Nukva of Zeranpin. For the time being, it is Nukva of Katnut, childhood or infancy, but it's still something.
In which all 600,000 souls of Israel, called the masses of the Nukva, her masses are included. And after Zeranpin was included in the light of Upper Abba and Ima, and the concealing of Tvuna appeared in him, which is, let the dry land appear of the Dalet. Those two discernments must be extended to the Nukva de Zeranpin from his Chazeh and below. These are the six words, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed. Because these six words correspond to the six sides Chagat Ne'i of Nukva de Zeranpin, for in Bless the Name of the Glory of His Kingdom Forever and Ever, there are six other words of the unification.
Bensi, you see that the 600,000 are written incorrectly? Please correct that.
Then what was dry became a land to bear fruit and offspring. This is so because to disclose complete love, which is on both sides, chesed and din, the light of the act of creation came out and was then concealed. And when it was concealed, the harsh din came out, and the two sides, chesed and din, were included, became whole. Thus, the love was not completed on both sides by concealing alone, but only through the harsh. But only through the harsh din that came out after the concealing.
That's clear, right? There cannot be strong love if it's not built upon strong hatred. Otherwise, there's nothing that really can exist without the corresponding aspect. Only out of one we can distinguish, feel, discern that this quality exists, that it, say, fills me up. On top of what does it fill me up? How does it fill me up? It fills up another quality. There has to be hatred, and it will be as the first vessel. And when I correct that, then the hatred is filled up with love. And then the two of them support one another, hold one another through the screen, through the connection between them. And then the Kli is corrected, and it is similar to the light. It's something simple, right? So, until we reach with our primary desire that was created, which for the time being is just raw, until we reach its shattering and discover in it the opposite quality from the light, which is called hatred, the quality of reception in its fullest, in a brutal, cruel, extreme manner, then it's not yet considered that we've reached the preparation. And only later, when we discover the hatred within this desire, we discover the hatred corresponding to that light that is in the quality of love. And then the two of them, in between the two of them, and we're in between, and we discover the two of them, then we can understand what kind of connection between them we can bring about so that these two qualities will hold one another. And then the Creator and the created being will be connected. These two qualities will support one another. Therefore, we need to also relate to the bad as to the good, bless over both of them, understand them, and relate to the whole of creation in a way that there is nothing bad. Rather, it's simply incorrect, uncorrected yet. Simply the other corresponding force is not there yet. But in every action, in every state, in whatever we go through, all in all that's lacking is correction. So just to see what is born out of this, the other side, and then by connecting the two of them, we reach wholeness. All right? Yes.
Rav, can you give another example for what you just said now? Something that really speaks about the place, because it sounds very emotional. It's hard for me to grasp this. Is there any other example?
The will to, the raw will to receive, is called when there is no opposite qualities of the light. The light that created it doesn't yet express, doesn't show towards that desire any quality. Rather, it simply created it. And later, the light works on the desire and invites within the desire the opposite actions. And by that, the desire starts becoming refined, sophisticated. It is built in the various forms in it, in opposition to the light. In opposition to the light, it feels itself as wanting to enjoy. It is in degrees where it understands that it is, where it doesn't yet understand that it is operating in opposition to the light, doesn't feel itself, until it starts understanding itself. These are the degrees of Shoresh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Until it reaches Bechina Dalet, it doesn't yet have understanding and awareness of what it is and who it is and where from and respect to whom. In Bechina Dalet, he already feels itself. He feels himself as being in the opposite form to the light, corresponding to the light. But that's not enough. Now we have to prepare the desire that it would be ready to complete itself with the corresponding light. I don't know. I don't have the words. Maybe you'll ask again.
The thing that,
as much as I'm trying to pass it on to you guys, it ends up being the same words externally.
It's like we're reading now, and I feel that the only thing that can awaken is a kind of an envy, that there's really a connection here, there's the state of connection, there's the abundance, and the only thing is that there's a kind of an envy here that I don't get. What is this envy? If there's really, is there such a thing like the will to receive, that there's an envy toward bestowal awoken in it? What is that?
That is a good outcome of our study. If we attain the goal only by the correct request, then the more I extract from the study, from anything that I do, I come out of it in the feeling of I don't have it, feeling that I have nothing. But at the same time, while I am helpless, I know for certain that I'm on the right path in that. Then I'm not just going to be emptied. This emptying is towards the correct, the good deficiency that I will want to be even totally empty and forever. But by that, I bring contentment. And also by bringing contentment, in bringing contentment, there are different degrees. Will I know about it? Will be aware of it? Etc. And others, we can't understand that. But what I'm trying to say is that the result of what you're going through in the study, in the group, and everything is that you'll have a deficiency for the light that would come and correct you. And the more you as much as you may feel that it can block you, stop you from advancing, this is called one's wisdom is greater than one's deeds. Either you're immersed in scholarship, in studying how the vessels turn, and the masachim, and the reshimot, and they rise, and they go down, and then you totally leave that main thing which is required of the Torah, which is the light that reforms. So if you deviate from that, that is something that is the worst possible thing. So this is how we have to constantly arrange our lives, and by that to give a form, a shape to our engagement. If I will want to be corrected by speaking with the friends, then it's worthwhile for me to speak to the friends more, right? And if, nonetheless, I have to know a little bit of the structure of the worlds and how these partufim rise and ascend and descend, etc., because it helps me. There are states where I, as if, have no emotion at all, then I need that as well. There are states where I work with the broad public, but if that awakens me, and thanks to that, I come to the necessity for connection with the teacher, with the sources, with the group, then it's worthwhile for me to go out to the broad public. The main thing is I have to see what advances me more towards the request, the plea, and a request that is as close as possible, according to my understanding, to spirituality, to bestowal. That's what we study. Now we're discovering that if we go out to care for the broad public, then specifically by caring for people who don't even want anything in their lives from spirituality. They have a totally different direction. We are heading upwards, they're heading downwards. And our directions are different. But the fact that they cry, that they lack their things, and even though this cry is not really serious, because there are people who live 1,000 times worse than them, yet they cry. Doesn't matter that they cry over things that are trifle, that you can do without them, and it's not so bad. And but it is enough for us that desire, even if it's a false, deceptive desire, where a person is crying, you know, tears, that if we were to measure all of these things, that there's no room for that. But I'm telling you, it's all a lie. I'm telling you, God forbid, I'm not criticizing people. You know, they're not lying. They feel that way. Even though they're crying over fulfillments that are totally corporeal, materialistic, and by that maybe they want to be better off than others, to be greater, stronger, healthier, more successful than others. Not just that a person is asking for himself, rather by that he wants to overcome others, he wants to control them. It doesn't matter. He hurts. It's enough that he hurts and he joins us. He connects to us. That's enough. It's really enough. We already can take their legs and over those to raise man, to bring them to the group, to bring them to connection between us, and to raise those things onwards. Why? Because we take desires that for the time being are in Bia, among the shells, the klipot. There are the lower ones, the lower nine of Malchut. And we also are there, really. Only our point, nonetheless, is in Atzilut. The Keter, the point of Keter is in Atzilut. Nonetheless, we are in adhesion to that idea that the Kabbalists wrote to us about. We don't understand it. We can process this idea because it is only one small point that is up there, a spark, the point in the heart. But already we have a connection to that. And in the rest of it, we were along together with them in our intentions, even though our intentions are also connected to spirituality. We want, even though we want for ourselves, but we want spirituality. So it turns out that on the one hand, we are with these people. On the other hand, we have some contact with the upper force. And when we ask, when we care for them, and we want to help them for egoistical reasons, that I want to succeed, I want to prove that I'm right. Completely egoistical reason. But if I operate in such a way that I want him to be better off, I want him to have to feel good, this other, then even though I'm as if already ascribing him to myself, nonetheless, here I'm overcoming some ego, some gap. I already begin to ascribe, to relate humanity to myself. By that, I begin to see that in the future I'll be able to do that with the whole of humanity. Egoistically, that's true, but that's already enough to raise man. It's already pressuring me to be more connected to my environment, to the society, to need the light that reforms, that here I truly need the help of the Creator. So, what am I trying to say by that? If I see that these things, in practice, really, are pushing me towards connection and towards the Creator and to need His help, and we can see that that's the most beneficial thing, then it's worthwhile to invest in that. Not to completely let go of all the rest, but we are actually not leaving all the rest, rather from us wanting to succeed over there. I now see that this entire chain, all of these conditions, in order to reach the right request, now awaken in me. This whole chain awakens in me, and I want to keep both the friends and the connection with them, and the teacher, and the study, and the Creator, and all of it, all of them. I see that without this support, I won't succeed. This is an indication that indeed we're using the right means. Yes.
So that's actually the covenant, that when I make contact with them, I don't know if it's a kind of an envy or deficiency, they want something from me, not knowing exactly what, but then we create this connection, this covenant. And here I further obligate myself to connect with the Creator the moment I did this thing. I'm as if obligated. I took them and I annexed them. And if I don't do it, I give them double problems.
If you're trying to ask how to create connections in them, then first of all you have to thank the Creator who gave you such an opportunity, who revealed deficiencies in those people, that they, poor guys, are suffering, and they're suffering for you, that you'll be able to raise their man, and by that justify your existence and their existence, and thank the Creator that through all of those things He gave them the ability to come closer, etc. So that there's something to do here. If you already connect these things from above downwards or from below upwards, yes.
It sounds also kind of really dangerous because you're really like...
Not like or as if. You really need to see all of these things as arranged for you. The world was created for me. Yes?
Rav, both the text and both your explanations, I feel them very far from me.
Far from you?
Yeah, I don't get the explanations are closer, but the Zohar text...
The Zohar text?
Yeah, very far.
Well, that's not too bad.
But what I'm trying, when I'm trying to unite, connect, there's plenty of... Around the language, the letters, the meaning of everything, there are plenty of meanings. In this respect, I'd like to ask, how important or urgent is it for us, for friends who don't know Hebrew, for them to study Hebrew?
Oh, to study Hebrew. I don't know what to tell you. I only know one thing. Musicians know many words in Italian. Doctors know many words in Latin. In philosophy, they use many terms from German, etc., etc. Also in psychology. Depends on... What is the source of that science that developed more among the people? That, this or that? The wisdom of Kabbalah developed in a group that came out of Babylon. They had two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic. The Zohar was written in Aramaic, most of it, sometimes also in Hebrew. The Torah that was written later during the Exodus from Egypt was already written with the light in Hebrew, because Aramaic and Hebrew are, that's one is from the size of the vessels, the other from the size of the light, so the posterior is this, the other side of the same expression. So it's the same language, however it's posterior and anterior. We don't know what it's like in other languages, posterior and anterior, but I talked to Rabash about it, and he says definitely it happens, and certainly we can also find spiritual roots, both to English and other, any language has spiritual roots. Otherwise, the will to receive wasn't able to express itself in the form of a language. Unless in it, in the will to receive, there weren't such preparations. Therefore, it's in any language, but it hasn't been passed on to us. We can't write the wisdom of Kabbalah in English, because we don't understand. With those words, that the form of the letters, the shape of the letters, it's not the same translation, you see. I can't, instead of or, write light. I won't be able to explain it, but I don't have the key with which to see in the shape of the letters, in their gematria, their numbers, in anything, to see the connection between the matter, that is the will to receive, the will to bestow, and the relationships between them, and the letters, the shape of the letters, the order of the letters, etc., etc., all of those things. I won't be able to. Whereas it is given to us in the same language that they used then, the first people who revealed it in Hebrew and in Aramaic. So out of lack of choice, one has to know a few dozen or maybe a few more words in Hebrew. And even though writing or reading it, it's very difficult because it's very different from the foundation of all the other languages, different from Latin. However, well, maybe reading, no, but in speech, that it will be understood. That will make it much easier for a person. And also, I don't think that, for the time being, in translation, we say, in English or in Russian, we use the word that is common in those languages, but I don't think that's good. I actually felt that it greatly helps me when I study the wisdom of Kabbalah in not in the mother tongue, that it helps me to relate to the definitions in a way that they are detached from me, that I don't immediately tie this with my emotion. Oh, light, kli, vessel, shattering, other things. Rather, those words that would be felt in me as foreign words would, as if direct me towards scrutiny, towards the inner scrutiny of the word. I felt that there was a benefit in that. Yes.
I'm really asking this respect because you always tell us how hard, how untalented you are in studying languages. On the other hand, I see that you're really trying, that it's important for you. I'm always
In Kabbalah, I think in Hebrew. In other things, I sometimes might think in Russian. But in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is nothing else. It's as if this is the language, well, just like in the language of computers, you know, that's the language.
I'm asking because for the past 2 weeks I was with our amazing friends in Italy, and they're very, it was clear that it would make it much easier on them, starting with the integral education and up to studying with us on the lesson. And I want to ask now on our behalf, how urgent is it if I do have the ability to engage in this and helping our friends study Hebrew, how urgent it is compared to other projects?
No, I don't think so. And also, over time, they learn the definitions. They don't need more than the definitions. No, that's completely not important. Well, we'll continue.
Verse 206, starting with the words hence. Hence, before the harsh din came out, the Dalet in Echad was dry land, useless, being out of the light by the concealing.
He's talking about Malchut. And
the fear was incomplete in her, either so she would be corrected with the lower love and fear, which complement the upper love and fear, since the harsh din, which is the primary exposure of the lower love and fear, has not yet been revealed. And that harsh din is placed in Leah's heels and placed on Rachel's Rosh. This is so because the Ranpin has two nukvin, from the Chazen above called Leah, from the Chazen below called Rachel. Leah's heels end at Chazed de Zeranpin, touching Rachel's Rosh, who is standing from Chazed de Zeranpin and below. The harsh din is at the end of Leah's heels, which touch inside the Rosh of Rachel. Therefore, the harsh din operates only in Rachel, since no Masach and Din can disclose its domination, but only from its place and below. It follows that the concealing is not complemented into the degree of lower love and fear, but only after it is extended to Rachel's place where the harsh din operates.
In our words, love cannot be revealed except through the harsh din, the judgment. As usual, one corresponding to the other, two qualities that have to appear, and then only through one opposite the other can we feel, that is, discover what each one of them is.
Then, what was dry becomes a land for bearing fruits, offspring, and for planting trees, since the Dalet in Echad, who was dry and a place of desolation before the harsh din appeared, unfit for settling, has become a fruit-bearing land, fitting for planting trees, a place for settling now that they extended to the Vak of Rachel from Chazed de Zaranpin and below. It is so because the lower love and fear appear in her in whole, complementing the upper love and fear, so love will be on both sides. Only in this way do all the pleasantness and goodness in upper Abba Ve'ima appear. It is written, and God called the dry land earth. This is in the same unification as below, and blessed be the name of the glory of His kingdom forever and ever, which becomes earth, a complete desire as it should be. Eretz, earth, comes from the word ratzon, will, desire. This is the meaning of, and God called the dry land earth, meaning He extended the Dalet in Echad to the Nekeva, to the Nukva of Zaranpin, to her six sides, where the act of the harsh din is already revealed. Then the Dalet, which was dry and desolate, became a fruit-bearing land and a place for settling in Nukva de Zaranpin through her Zivug with Him. Thus God called the dry land earth, which is a complete desire as it should be, since the complete proper side, complete love, appear in her.
Through the coupling, the zivug with the Zaranpin, this is how from the dry land, from the will to receive that is unworthy of anything, through the Hitkalilu, the integration, land was formed. That is, a will to receive that can begin to resemble the Creator and build itself to the form of Adam. Questions?
How the desires from which the Malchut was integrated with the lower Zen can come fruit? These are desires that she was integrated in. It's like some imaginary tree or a drawing of a tree will bear fruit.
Not a tree and not even the land or earth. Rather, it is something that is unworthy of anything, completely dry, from which nothing can come out. The light comes, and gradually, through its influence over that dead place, it starts working on it and bringing it to a state where from it will come the crops and everything. It's only the light that does that. And where does the crop come from, and the trees, and the fruits, and later the animals, and then people. It all comes from the land. It all comes from the land, from the dust. Where does it come from? It's through the light integrating with this dust in all kinds of different discernments that from the dust arises the next stage and the next one in the development, and even though it wasn't worthy of anything, through the light, suddenly the image of the Creator is revealed. What is it in its foundation? Dust. And the light changed that so much so that it became like the image of the Creator in everything. And in each and every part, besides this dust, besides the foundation, besides the yesod, we don't talk about how the light sustains it, because it created it and sustains it. In each part, beyond the dust, each detail, each degree, each discernment is included of two: that dust and the light. And then we already speak about some connection between them. And the intensity of the connection is what creates the different degrees, different qualities, different integrations and connections, until you have such a system that it totally resembles the Creator. This is how it is built. But your request comes first. It precedes each and every detail that will be built.
Obviously, it's dust, but it's only an incorporation, integration, is just the image of dust. Suppose we disseminate, and we're integrated of the desires of the people. It's not; these aren't real desires. It's incorporated in me.
What do you mean? If they cry, they cry. If they want, they want.
But we're asking. It's not that they want. We're asking.
You're asking because you care for the other one too. You're asking because you want the others to succeed. I'm talking about the worst possible things. You want to succeed. You want to prove to everybody that you are the greatest, the wisest, the right one. So you want this small person to succeed. If it wasn't for your pride and your ego, this person could burn and die right now in his place. You won't even think twice about him. But because it's important for you to establish your ego so that everybody will see the outcomes of what you're doing, that you're great and wise, and even if they don't see it, in your ego you just want to receive for yourself, "I shall be king." Right? So, what he wants becomes important to you. You want to use him like some raw material. You want to show over him that you are you, the I. It's like Pharaoh, right? It's not important. Very nice. You have a need now to succeed through him. Great. What do you do with this need? You see in your work with him that I'm a liar. I'm certainly not able to do that. But when I connect with him, everybody sees it, everybody is looking, my desire starts being even greater. It's not something that I do, I put it on the side, where I understand Taz or not, someplace here, in envy, in lust, honor, in all kinds of different emotions, with respect to the public, with respect to everyone. My desire to succeed suddenly has inflated. It became, all I want is that. As much as I invest, that's all I need. I see that all my future depends on that. Once you thought that you cared about succeeding with someone, that you tie your whole future to this, or even your mood or something, suddenly it becomes so important to you, so important. So much so that you are willing to go to the guys, run to them, and I want to take from them a little bit more strength, a little bit more confidence, a little bit more something, so that I'll succeed, or maybe I won't succeed. I want the Creator. I'm willing to even read some book chapter from Psalms, or read some article or something, because the teacher told me, tie together all of these things, take all the sources, all the supports, all the sources for my energy, so that I'll succeed with that miserable poor guy. I don't even care about him, but all I care about is that he'll take on my form, the form, the shape that I want it to take. Well, great. Already, you are coming there with lolishma. You are asking of the Creator to perform an action of bestowal, lolishma, Lo lishma, meaning you want egoistically to succeed, to profit, but you're connecting with the Creator, you're connecting with the group, you're connecting to the study, connecting to the teacher. You want the upper light to influence you and to make some change here for the better, not for the worse, God forbid, for the better. And by that, you want to be connected with everyone, be together, and even the whole world can, you know, should be corrected, and everybody will be reciprocal bestowal. Why? I want that to happen. That's fine. So you're still unable to work any other way, but nonetheless, you're thinking about the good form. Already you care about other people, you care about the friends, you care about the teacher, the Creator. Earlier, you wouldn't even think about them. Were you thinking about them? How many times? And sometimes you remember that you have to ask the Creator for something, even to ask. Well, or the intention in order to bestow, connect with the friends. Artificially, you would approach all of this. Now it's not artificial. Now you have your own desire. Exactly the other way around. It comes to you and it consumes you from within, that deficiency, that desire. So isn't that progress? Come on. Well,
so according to what you're saying, I just understood that till this day I didn't understand anything correctly, neither test nor anything else. The desires that are integrated, they grow.
They grow, so?
I thought that it's...
Well, that's okay. Let's move on to the next part.